Turn to Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter 4 this morning. I had to go back to my office and get my glasses during the Sunday school hour. I don't think I've ever had that happen where I couldn't see the word. Normally, everything's fuzzy when I'm reading it, but so if I ever skip a word, it's not because I'm using the NIV. I just want you to understand, I have the King James Bible. And boy, this morning during Sunday school, I got stopped because I could not figure out what the word was. So I'm safe now. I went back to my office, got me a pair of my 100, whatever they call it, gauge or whatever it's called, power glasses, and that's all I need, and everything comes right up to me. And so that's exciting. And so, the crazy thing is, if I wore them when I was shaking hands, I wouldn't know that some of you were members. And this morning, if I get stuck again, I'll grab those. Now, I want to talk to you out of Acts chapter 4 here for just a few moments. And two or three of you, in the service, I preached at prison this particular thought, and I believe it's what the Lord has for us this morning. And so I want to preach this thought this morning out of Acts chapter number 4. All right, look at verse number 1 with me. Let's read the passage together first, just a few verses here. Acts chapter 4, we'll read verses 1 through 13. The Bible says, "And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them." Now, you didn't read chapter 3, but let me just tell you, when it says they, as they spake unto the people who were speaking was Peter and John. As they spake unto the people, the priest and captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. Verse 2, "Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide." Verse 4, "Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have ye done this?'" All right, now I just want to tell you what the "this" is, okay? When it says, "By what power, what name have ye done this?" Chapter number 3 is the story of the lame man that was at the temple who couldn't walk, and he's at the gate of the gate called Beautiful, and he's begging, and Peter and John come by, and Peter looks at him, and he says, this is how you know he was a Baptist, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give unto thee." All right, so you know he's an independent Baptist, he didn't have money. And so he says, "Hey, listen, I don't have any money to give you, but well, I do have something to give you." And he says, "In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And because of the man's faith in the name of Jesus Christ, Peter reached his hand down and God gave him strength in his ankle bones, and he stood up and started walking. All right, now it wasn't Peter because of him, Peter healing him. It's because of faith in the name that Peter had said, in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, now, so this is what the chief priests and the Sadducees and the high priest are all together. They said, "Hey, listen, by what name have you done this? Why, how did you heal this man?" Verse 8, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, and said unto them, 'Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders." Jesus was the stone. The builders, talking about the chief priest there. He was set at naught by you builders, which has become the head of the corner. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Hey, let me stop for right there. How many glad you're saved this morning? How many figured out the only way you're saved is through Jesus Christ? You're not saved because you come to church, not saved because you've been baptized, not saved because you live a good life. You're saved because Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, was buried, rose again the third day to give us salvation, and it's through his name, all right? Look at verse number 13. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled." I want to preach on this last statement, verse number 13. "And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Just remember, I want to pray one more time and we'll get started. Father, I need your help this morning. Lord, would you please give liberty and power? Would you help there not to be distractions this morning? Would you please speak to people's hearts this morning? Help us take this thought and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Church family, the chief priest and these rulers come and they put Peter and John on trial. And they said, "Hey, listen, how did that lame man get healed?" And Peter and John remind them that it wasn't them, it was God. But Peter made this statement, or I'm sorry, the rulers made the statement about Peter and John, and the Bible says they perceived and took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. And church, I got thinking about that this morning, and I looked at the passage, and I looked over it over and over and over, and I thought to myself, how did these guys know that they'd been with Jesus? Now think about it for a second here. We're talking thousands of people were here. If you notice in the previous verse, 5,000 people believed. Peter and John come to the temple, and when they come to the temple and they walk in, and that man that's lame sitting there, and he's healed, he goes in with them leaping and praising God. There must have been a lot of people there because 5,000 men had gotten saved at that one meeting. Now the Pharisees didn't like it, the Sadducees didn't like it, the chief priests and rulers didn't like it, so they arrest Peter and John. They put them in hold to the next day. The next day they put them on trial. They come before this council, and the council thought to themselves, these guys are ignorant, they're unlearned, but one thing for sure, they've been with Jesus. Now, watch me, I'm not going to be long this morning, but I want you to think for just a moment. Can a person perceive that you've been with Jesus? Can a person that you work with think to themselves, hey, this person's been with Jesus? Can the people that your next door neighbor think about you, hey, that person's been with Jesus? I'm reminded of a man who used to come to the church in Sauk Village years and years ago. And for years, he was next door neighbor to a family named Vargas, brother and sister Vargas. Brother Vargas was deacon in our church. And after years, this man comes to church and visits. And when he came and visited, he got saved. I mean, older gentleman had gotten saved. And somebody had asked him and said, hey, listen, how is it that you come to church, and then how is it the very first Sunday you came, you got saved? He says, here's the reason why. He says, every Sunday morning, year after year after year, I would look out my window every Sunday morning to see that next door neighbor pull out of his driveway and go to church. He says, I figured that there had to be something different about your church for him to go to church like that every Sunday. Now, I want to tell you something. That man perceived something. I got a question. What do people perceive about you? Now, church family, I would like to think that a person could look at our lives. It doesn't matter if you're a teenager or an adult. They could look at your life and say, hey, listen, that person's been with Jesus. But I want to tell you something. We don't get that by what we do. You know, when I think about Peter and John, I don't think Peter and John was wearing a sign. I don't think that Peter and John was wearing a sign when they stood before the Sanhedrin saying, I've been with Jesus. I don't think that Peter and John took their megaphones out and said and made sure everybody knew, dun-dun-dun, we've been with Jesus. I don't think they were wearing the little pins, you know, what would Jesus do, to be able to figure out, oh, that person's been with Jesus. There was something different about Peter and John that caused them to say to themselves, hey, guys, there's something. These guys have been with Jesus. Now, just a minute, I don't know about you, but people ought to be able to tell that about us. They ought to say, hey, listen, there's something different about you. There's something that is Christ-like about you that makes them think, hey, that person's been with Jesus. Hey, can I tell us this morning that every person ought to be with Jesus? You just should have been with Jesus before you came to church this morning. I'm glad that we're two or three are gathered together. There I am in the midst. I'm glad that we can come to church and be with Jesus. But church family, I was with Jesus alone this morning before I ever came to church. Hey, can I tell you, people ought to be able to perceive that you've been with Jesus. So I look at the passage and I think to myself, okay, what did they do that caused them to stand out to be able to say, hey, those people have been with Jesus? All right, now, I think it's pretty clear here. I want you to look at your Bible now. And I think it's the same things we need to have in our life if people are going to perceive that we've been with Jesus also. Look back at your Bible, Esther 4 now. In Esther 4, I want you to look at verse number 8. In verse number 8, it says, then Peter, what's the next five words? Can you say it with me? Filled. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. So, Shemai, I believe that the first reason that they knew that Peter had been with Jesus because he was filled with the Holy Ghost. You say, what does that have to do with anything? I want to tell you what it has to do with anything. Is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit one? That's what the Bible teaches. They're the Trinity that we refer to it. But God the Father, God the Son. And church, can I tell you that God the Father doesn't say anything contrary to what the Son says. The God the Son says nothing contrary to what the Holy Ghost says. In fact, Jesus said that when I ascend up into heaven, I'm going to send you a comforter, which is going to be the Holy Ghost, and he will bring to remembrance what I've spoken unto you. Hey, can I tell you that when they saw Peter speaking, being filled with the Holy Ghost, it's as if they were hearing Jesus speak. I'm not taking anything out of context, church family. I just want you to understand that if a person's going to figure out that you've been with Jesus, it's because you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Because whatever the Holy Ghost does is what Jesus would have done. Whatever the Holy Ghost would say, that's what Jesus would have said. Now, do you understand that as a Christian, People ought to be able to perceive that you've been with Jesus, but I want to tell you how that's going to happen if you are filled with the Spirit of God. Now, I know everyone's got different thinking on this. I think the Bible is pretty clear in my mind that being filled with the Spirit of God is not a prerequisite for salvation. I don't believe I have to do something to get saved, and I don't believe I have to do something to stay saved. I believe that according to 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, that when I got saved, I got all the Holy Spirit I'm going to get. I believe the Holy Spirit is a person. In my mind, I can't comprehend other thinking. I've met some good men who have believe that there's a measure of the Holy Spirit, because the word measure is used in the Scripture, and that you only get so much of Him. But church family, when we had our babies born, the baby that we had a head and two arms and two legs and a belly button, and they had everything to them. We didn't get a portion of the baby when we came home and come back to the hospital and get the other portion later. Are y'all with me so far? Because we had a person. I believe the person of the Holy Spirit, that when you get saved, that you get all the Holy Spirit you're going to get. The difference between being filled with the Spirit is simply this. It's not me getting more of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit getting more of me. I believe the closer I get to God, the more I put the Scripture in, the more the Spirit's going to have control of my life. And again, we could preach entire passages on of being filled with the Spirit. But I only want to go to two, if you don't mind, to explain what this is talking about. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Again, these are nothing new, elementary really, but I want to at least share them again this morning with you. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and a very familiar verse number 18. It's where we get the verse being filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And then, of course, evidences of that, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Verse 20, evidence of that, giving thanks always for all things. Evidence of that, verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. And it goes right down through there as far as submission, husbands, children in chapter 6, servants in chapter 6, etc. Now, church family, here's what I want you to see this morning, okay? You have parallel passages of what being filled with the Spirit is. Ephesians 5, verse number 18. Be not drunk with wine where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And then he shows us what those evidences are of being filled with the Spirit. Are you with me so far? Amen. Now, let's go over to Colossians chapter 3. This parallel passage tells us what being filled with the Spirit is. Look at Colossians chapter 3. All right. Now, look at verse number 16. Colossians 3:16 says this. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing. Now, here's the evidences again. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Verse number 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God. Verse number 18, wives submit, husbands love. Verse 19, husbands love. Verse 20, children obey. Verse 21, fathers provoke not. Verse 22, servants obey. Now, here's where I'm trying to go this morning, okay? We could read every word of these passages, but here's what I'm trying to go with it this morning. I believe Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3 are parallel passages. I believe Ephesians 5 says if you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to speak to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You're going to give thanks. You're going to submit to authority. I believe Colossians chapter 3 does not use the phrase be filled with the Spirit. It uses the phrase verse 16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, and those same evidences will be in your life. What are the evidences? You'll speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You'll give thanks to all things. And then it goes to the list of those who are so supposed to submit to authorities in your life. You say, Pastor James, what are you trying to say? Don't let me lose you here this morning. I believe very much that being filled with the Spirit is exactly what verse 16 of Colossians 3 is. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I want to tell you something. We've got this thing all confused about what being filled with the Spirit is. I'm all for asking being filled with the Spirit. Luke chapter 11, I think, talks about that. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more should the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? I believe that we're supposed to ask, God, help me be filled with the Spirit. God, help me to live the Spirit-filled life today. Help me, Father, to be able to say the things that Christ would say. Help me to do what the Spirit would lead me to. Help me not to be in the flesh. Help me to be in the Spirit. I believe in praying. But just for me, I want to tell you something. Being filled with the Spirit is more than just asking to be filled. That's part of it. But being filled with the Spirit is you putting in, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Stay with me this morning. The more Scripture I put in, the more filled with the Spirit I will be. Amen. Are y'all with me so far? Amen. So can I tell you this morning, how did they know that Peter had been with Jesus? You say, Pastor Hanks, it's pretty clear. Verse number 8, he was filled with the Spirit. Pastor, how does a person know that a Christian is filled with the Spirit? It's real simple. You're filled with Scripture. Because the more scripture you are filled with, the more the Spirit has control of your life to cause you to live a Spirit-filled life. I want to tell you something, church family. All of us ought to be wanting to be with Jesus. And I know that the message is not this. Hey, I want you to notice, I've been with Jesus. That's not what Peter did. I want you to notice, I've been with Jesus. The thing was, is that Peter had been with Jesus. Church family, Peter walked with Jesus. He was around the living word regularly. Peter was part of the inner circle with Jesus. He was with Jesus during his transfiguration. He was with Jesus when specific miracles were done. He was with Jesus when he walked on the water. Peter was with the living word. Hey, church family, watch a second. I can't be with the living word, but I can be with the written word. And the more time I spend with the written word of God, the more time I spend with Jesus. So when somebody says, did you spend time with Jesus? The answer can be real plain. Did you read God's word this morning? Amen. It's real simple. Did you spend time with Jesus? Did you spend time in the word of God this morning? The more time I spend in the word of God, the more time I spend with Jesus. Hey, watch for a second here. The more time I spend with Jesus, the more people are going to perceive that person's been with Jesus. I want to tell you something. This world's going downhill fast, and it's because we don't have the salt and light like we need to have. And I want to tell you something. It used to be a day that the world had Christian morals, but it's also because there were Christians who were salt and light. They had spent time with Jesus, and that light and salt would spread. And we've got Christians spending less time with Jesus. A person can't perceive they've been with Jesus at all. Are you all with me this morning? Listen, I want to tell you something. How in the world do you expect people to want to be a Christian when you cuss, or when you laugh at dirty jokes, or when you act like the world and dress like the world? You know, I can tell you something, they're going to die and go to hell, you're going to die and go to heaven, but you are so close to the world looks at your life, and they think to themselves, well, if that's what a Christian is, I'm as good as they are, so I must be going there. This is pretty serious business. This is not a matter of going to hell for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or for a year or 10 years. It's forever and ever and ever. And we need a bunch of religious people who are the council to look out and say, hey, listen, that person there has been with Jesus. And I want to tell you how it's going to happen. Spend time in the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Memorize the Word of God. Put the Word of God in as much as you possibly can. The first way that we see that they perceive they've been with Jesus is because he's filled with the Spirit. I see something else, though, the next verse. In Acts chapter 4, the next verse says this in verse number 9. Peter said, if we this day be examined of the, what's the next three words? If we be examined this day of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole. I mean, remember now, in verse number 13 is where it says, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. For church family, do people take knowledge you've been with Jesus? I want to tell you how it's going to happen. Number one, it's real simple. You're filled with the Spirit, filled with Scripture. You're filled with God. Second thing I see is this. The reason that they knew they'd been with Jesus is because of the good deed done. Church family, I'm sorry. I don't know if it's as warm as I feel. It's warm in here. I hope I don't want to lose you this morning. I'm going to leave it just like it is, but I want you to stay with me for just a moment here. When Peter and John came in and they saw this man, they could have done what the Levite did in the story of the Good Samaritan. They could have done what the priest did in the story of the Good Samaritan. They could have walked around the other side. But you know what they did? They walked straight to him. In Acts chapter 3, you probably have it underlined. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Do you understand that they came to the man and a good deed was done? By the way, this man was over 40 years old, had been lame since his birth. You know how people can tell you've been with Jesus? By the good deeds done. Just, I want to tell you something. You ought to be looking for ways to make other people's loads lighter. You ought to be. You say, well, they didn't do it for me. I understand. You have the world's mentality of Matthew chapter 5. You only love those that love you. And you only do good to those. Church family, a Christian is not the mentality, you scratch my back, I scratch yours. Church family, think for just a second here. The people that had Peter and John on trial were the very people who crucified Jesus Christ. Do you understand that they knew in their mind, because they were envious of Jesus, He's the person who caused the blind man to see. He's the person who caused the lame man to walk. He's the person who raised Lazarus from the dead. He's the person who fed the 5,000. He's the person who caused that man that was in the casket to rise. They were so upset of all the good deeds during Jesus' earthly ministry. They were so upset with him that when Peter come to trial, they said, this guy's been with Jesus. You know why? Because the good deed done was exactly what Jesus did throughout his entire earthly ministry. You know what the Christian's life ought to be about? The Christian's life ought to be about trying to help somebody. Amen. Trying to help somebody. Trying to get somebody else's load, carry their load. Trying to give an encouraging word instead of a critical statement. Trying to find out how they can be a blessing and not a burden. That the good deed done. How do people know they've been? That's what Jesus would have done. I know the world has, I should say evangelical movement. I know that they've taken that, what would Jesus do? They take it from 2 Peter 2:21. But what would Jesus do? And I understand, we think to ourselves, yeah, well, that's not as important. But Church, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do for his spouse if he had one? What would Jesus do for another church member? What would Jesus do for a fellow employee? What would Jesus do for the next door neighbor? What would Jesus do? What would he do? Hey, can I tell you something? The reason they knew Peter had been with Jesus is real simple. He did exactly what Jesus would have done. Silver and gold have I none, but I've got something I can help you with. Stand on up. He was looking to do something good for somebody. Church family, sometimes it's hard to question ourselves and to put ourselves on trial. But let me ask you something. Is your mentality and I know it's hard to say it, but is your mentality, what are you going to do for me? Or is your mentality, what can I do for somebody else? You know, we make the statement and we tease about it, but Christmas is coming. It is more blessed to... It's hard to say that word, isn't it? More blessed to give than to receive. Hey, you know what caused them to stand out in the crowd? They were filled with the Spirit. That's how they knew they'd been with Jesus. Not only that, it's because of their good deeds done. There's one more thing here I see in the passage here. I want you to see with me. Look at verse number 10 with me. The reason they knew they had been with Jesus is because of verse number 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone, talking about Jesus. Jesus was the stone. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, church, watch for a second here, okay, and I'm done. Peter and John are on trial, specifically Peter, because he's the one that God used this miracle. Peter's on trial, and they look, and the council looks at him and says, hey, you know what, guys? And by the way, they're talking amongst themselves. These guys are unlearned and ignorant. You know what I find out? There's a lot of Christians that may not have the highest IQ, but God's not looking at your IQ. He's looking to see whether you've been with Jesus or not. These unlearned and ignorant fishermen, but the one thing they notice, these guys have been with Jesus. Just for me, does people look at your life and say you've been with Jesus? I want to tell you something. They know you've been with Jesus. Number one, you're filled with the Spirit. They know you've been with Jesus by the good deeds that you do. And I know it's not good deeds to get to heaven. I'm talking about good deeds because that's what Jesus would have done. But here's the third one. The reason they knew he'd been with Jesus, neither is there salvation in either name. The reason that they knew he'd been with Jesus is because they preached. They spoke about Jesus to others. Just for me, can I use your Christmas track there? It's the one right there. Frosty the Snowman. No, I'm just joking. Jingle bells, jingle bells. That's a song that the world will sing. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Hey, you know what? They'll look at that and they'll think that's cute and they'll take it. But as soon as they open up, you know what they're going to hear? Have you heard that Jesus came to take away your sins? I didn't know that was part of the jingle bell song. I really believe I want the stacks of tracts that, and I know there's more. I just wanted to make sure that you could get tracts before you left this morning, because I want to tell you something, church. I'm serious. Of all times of the year, this would be the easiest time for you to say Merry Christmas and hand somebody a gospel tract. And by the way, That's how they know you've been with Jesus, because you want to talk about him. That's how they know you've been with Jesus, because you're not ashamed of him. Do you know for sure you're on your way to heaven? If you're here this morning and you do not know for sure, you say, I'm pretty sure, I think so, then you're not for sure. If I was to ask you what your name was, you'd say, well, my name's John, or my name's Betty, because you know that's your name. There's no question. But if I ask you, do you know for sure you're on your way to heaven, and you say, well, I think so, then you don't know. 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written, your Bible there, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. I know that I know that I know I'm going to heaven because I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, realizing I was a sinner bound for hell and that he died on the cross for my sin and he paid my sin debt in full, and I accepted his payment and received Christ as my Savior. I know that I'm saved. Just show me. Can I tell you, and I call you church family, it doesn't matter if you're part of the church or not part of the church. It doesn't matter if you're visiting or if you're a child. I just want you to understand that if you're not for sure you're on your way to heaven, these little gospel tracts tell you Bible verses about Jesus. It's not about the church. It's not about being baptized. It's about Jesus. Have you accepted Jesus?
Yes, amen.
Hey, church family, can I tell you something? Of all times of the years, people ought to be able to tell that you've been with Jesus. That'll be Christmas time.
Amen.
And I know it's a year-round thing. When they look at your life, I just want you to understand, they won't have to scratch their head and say, I think that guy's been with Jesus. They're going to say, hey, they took knowledge. The word knowledge means no. If you look it up, the word knowledge means no. They knew that those guys had been with Jesus. You know why they knew they'd been with Jesus? They were filled with the Spirit. You know why they knew they'd been with Jesus? Because of the good deed done. You know why they knew they'd been with Jesus? Because they talked about him.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the only way, and you better accept him.
Amen. That's right.
I'm done. Church, hear me. I wear this particular type of cologne, and I've been wearing it for years. And to be honest, I like it. I like the smell of it, so I've worked for years. I can't find it anywhere now. I have to order it. I can't get it. It used to be abundant. You can't go to a normal store and get it anymore. But I've been wearing it for years, and I am not lying, okay? Now, it's not my special cologne. There's nothing special about the cologne, but there's some type. The cologne is very distinct. I've been to restaurants before, and I had a lady. Now, she can do this. The lady was healthy that told me this. The lady was behind the counter, and she looked at me and said, what do you have on? And she's smiling. And I have had that happen more than once at a fast food joint. I've had people that have come up to me that passed by me and said, what are you wearing? I mean, because the fragrance is pretty, it's a strong fragrance, and so they'll notice it. I've had people ask me for where I buy it and how they can get it. It's just that I've had, it might have been Cassie. I mean, Cassie, I think it might have been you. But I've had people, with me not there, will walk into a room and say, Pastor's been here. That's not my B.O. It's that fragrance. Have you made this statement before? I thought it was Cassie. That people have made that statement, Pastor must have been here, because I've been wearing that fragrance for so long. That cologne. Church, follow my illustration now. Isn't it interesting that I can put cologne on, and by a person's nose, Pastor's been here. Church, I mean, can I tell you something? It's that way with your walk with God. The more time you've been with Jesus, it's like it just permeates. It's like that fragrance. It's like, oh, that person's been with Jesus. You know, that fragrance is put on in the morning and it lasts most of the day. And you know what? The next day, I have to take another shower and get cleaned up again. I have to put some more on. Did you know your walk with God is not a one-time deal? Every day, you've got to be with Jesus. And the more time you spend with Jesus, the more people are going to notice you've been with Jesus. Hey, can I do the opposite of that if you don't mind? I've also noticed that people who don't brush their teeth, that permeates too. It permeates. I have to ask my kids. My kids, they probably get tired of me hearing that. I ask my kids frequently, did you brush your teeth? You know why? If you've been around somebody that didn't brush your teeth, it permeates. It's called dragon breath. Hey, can I tell you something? When you haven't spent time with Jesus, people know that too. It permeates. I know that we're not trying to be a trophy for self-glory. I know we're trying to say, hey, look at me, I've been with Jesus. I know we're not carrying signs or wearing placards or but do you understand that if you're doing what a Christian's supposed to do, people are going to notice that.
Amen.
And by the way, the council was kind of being critical. You might even be criticized because you're spending time with Jesus. But I want to tell you something. The best thing you could ever do is for people to take notice that person's been with Jesus. That person's been with Jesus. You ought to want people to know that you've been with Jesus. And I want to tell you how it's going to happen. Being filled with the Spirit means being filled with Scripture. It's going to be because you're striving to do good things for others. And it's because you want to tell everybody about Jesus Christ. Peter and John, in that same passage he says, Peter talking to them, we cannot but help but speak the things which we've seen and heard. Chapter 4, verse 20. I want to tell you something. You won't be able to but help but talk about Jesus the more time you spend with Jesus.